This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The word Sharia, is it a word that they're trying to make everyone afraid of in America? Absolutely. The Sharia is the boogeyman in the closet that's going to come out and get you in your sleep. If Muslims become too many in America, they'll start implementing their Sharia. Now, within the Sharia, I'm going to give you a few things without running out of time. The Sharia is a system devised by who? Allah. Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not even the legislator of Sharia. He was only the distributor of the Sharia. Everything, as Allah says in Surah An-Najm, is revelation from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore, Sharia is from Allah, designed by Allah, Azza wa Jal, for His creation. Therefore, it is perfect. It is perfect. Because anything that comes from Allah is perfect because Allah is perfect. So the system is perfect. Now, within the Sharia, there are something called, I'm trying to think of the proper English word, maqasid. What is maqasid? Aims, goals. Goals. There is something called the maqasid of the Sharia. The goals and the aims of the Sharia. And this is the first thing you learn in a course about Sharia. Anybody here took courses on Sharia? No? Well, the maqasid of the Sharia is the first thing that you will discuss. Because if you don't understand the maqasid of the Sharia, just like I am teaching the maqasid of da'wah, you won't understand Sharia whatsoever. And this is the problem. This is what you'll never hear in Congress. This is what you'll never hear them talk about Sharia. They won't tell you the maqasid whatsoever. What is the number one maqasid of Sharia? Anybody know? No. The number one maqasid of Sharia is Tawheed. The number one maqasid of Sharia is to make sure that Tawheed is known to the world. This is it. Tawheed is everything in Islam. That Tawheed is known in the world. And also, one of the number one maqasids of the Sharia is justice. Justice. To make sure that justice is always served. Justice is always served. To who? To whom? To the Muslims? Everyone. That justice is served to every single human being on planet Earth. That justice is done. Another maqasid of the Sharia is that no one is oppressed. That is one of the maqasid of the Sharia. That no one is ever oppressed. That's one of the goals of the Sharia. Another goal of the Sharia is that no woman ever gets abused. Did you know that? This happens to be this is my field of focus is Sharia, and more specifically fiqh al-jinayat, the fiqh of crime and punishment. One of the maqasid of the Sharia is also that no child is ever abused, that no orphan is ever taken advantage of, that no poor person ever goes to bed hungry, that no one ever sleeps at night without a roof over their head. All of these are the maqasid of the Sharia. And Islam is very severe and serious about them. To make sure that no one tyrannizes over another, that no one uses their wealth as an abuse power over the poor, that the poor are taken care of, that women are taken care of, that children are taken care of, that minorities are taken care of, that no innocent person ever loses their life, that no property is ever taken from anyone else unjustly. This is the maqasid of the Sharia. This is the maqasid of the Sharia, the goals of the Sharia. Is any of that negative? Would any human being on planet Earth say any of that is negative with a sound mind? No. Guess what? That's all the Sharia is about. That's all the Sharia is about. Nothing else. Nothing else. And I challenge anyone to go find something different. Go find something different. And I've made that challenge, and guess what you're going to get back? You're going to get two things back. Two examples of where the Sharia does not seek to fill these goals. Two rulings. All the time you're going to get these same two rulings. What is the first ruling? Cutting off the hand of the thief? What is the second one? Actually, that's the second one. The first one is actually
The adultery.
I love when they bring these two up because these are the easiest ones to deal with. So simple. Let's deal with them real quick. Adultery. And I'm giving you this. It's not part of the course, but I'm leaving you with something. Adultery. Is adultery in Islam a crime? Is it in the Sharia? Does the Sharia tell us how to deal with it? What is the penalty? Death. Don't apologize for these things. It's perfect. Death. But in order for death to be implemented, capital crime, capital punishment to be implemented upon the adulterer, there are only two ways that that can happen. Two ways. Only two ways that that can happen. What is the first way? Four witnesses. That's it? Just four witnesses? Four witnesses who witness what? Witness the wife with another man walking in the street? No. What about them at the mall? What about them in a room together? What about them in bed together? No. Four witnesses that witness the act of coitus. Four witnesses that witness the act of coitus. Now, those four witnesses, can they be any Joe Blow from who knows where? No, they need to be four upright, known, righteous people. Muslim, upright, known for their truthfulness, known for their deen and their akhlaq and their character. They're beyond scrutiny. That is the only way that that can happen. How many times in recorded history has four upright witnesses been the deciding factor in an adultery case? Never happened. It's never happened in recorded history. It just doesn't work like that. Okay, so since that one's off the table, since it never happened, what is the other way? There's only one other way. Confession from the person who's done it. Confession of the person who has done it. They have to confess to their crime. Now, if they confess to their crime, do they take them? Yes. Just one. Whoever wants to take the penalty. Whoever wants to take the punishment.
But they have to be consistent.
That's what we're getting to. Yes. If they, let's say they walk up into a courtroom or into a judicial office in a Muslim country where there was a Sharia being implemented the right way. We're talking about things that don't exist, but we're hypothesizing here. Let's say they walk into there and say, I have committed adultery, I want to be punished. Are they going to take them out back, bury them in the sand and stone them that afternoon?
No.
Nope. The Qadi, when he interviews them first, do you know what he is instructed to do by the Sharia? Ask them to retract the confession. He is instructed by Sharia, by the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to ask them to retract the confession. Take it back. I don't care if you did it or not, take it back. If that person doesn't want to take it back, then that person is given time to think about it. The judge can send them home. He can put them in prison or whatever have you, to give them time to think it over. And then bring them back and ask them again, retract your confession. He can even explain to them what's going to happen. Look, we're going to take you out back. We're going to bury you in the sand. We're going to pitch up a bunch of rocks and we're going to beat you till you're dead. Are you sure you want to go down this road? And if that person continuously confesses and says that they want to be put to death for the penalty that they have committed, then the Qadi is under no choice but to give that person what they want. What they want. They're asking for it. They're begging to be punished in this life for a sin they don't want to stand in front of Allah for on the Day of Judgment. So the Qadi gives them what they want. How harsh does that sound? You're giving the person what they want. Now, is there any other way I can prove adultery? What about if a woman, there's some different opinions about if a husband accuses his wife and takes an oath, but we're just going to be general now. Because I have some opinions upon that, but I'm not knowledgeable enough to have opinion. Because if that were the case, then a husband gets angry at his wife over burning his favorite thobe, then it might be a problem. But nevertheless, let's say a woman becomes pregnant. The husband says, that's not my child. The baby is born. They take a DNA test. And the DNA test says that that child is not the son of the husband. Is that enough?
No.
DNA is 99.9% sure. It's not enough. Even if it's 99.99999%, it's not enough. Because in Islam, if you're going to take a life, you better be 100% sure. You better be 100% guaranteed that that life you're going to take is justified. Because if not, Allah tells you to take one innocent life is as if you've killed all of mankind. And the Sharia takes that into consideration. If there's any doubt, even if they have taken the person and buried them in the sand, and they are about to throw the first stone, and the person says, look, I retract my confession. Is it too late? They dig them up, send them home. That's just the way Islam treats a life. A life is sacred. And you don't play with that sanctity. So, do you think they ever told that in any of their Congress hearings about Sharia? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And they won't let you tell that story because this is shows the justice of the Sharia. That the Sharia is the most just system that is out there. Now, what about the cutting off the hand? And then we're going to continue on. Cutting off the hand.
What if you have it, it's a videotape?
What
if you have a videotape? You know,
if you have videotape, in my opinion, in the opinion of the shayukh I've sat under, which I have sat under some serious shuyukh when it comes to fiqh al-jinayat, videotape equals one witnesses. If you have four videotapes, then you can consider that four witnesses. Because a videotape is just through one lens. One set of eyes. Four people can witness it, but at the same time, videotapes are not 100% certain. They can be doctored. There can be some reasonable doubt. The videotape could have been doctored. Hollywood does it all the time. Could they be punished? The man and the woman. They could receive some punishment. Sure, that's a ta'zir, punishment is up to the qadi. But I don't think death should be on the table in that instance. In that instance, especially if they deny it. If they both deny it, and there's only one witness, which is the videotape, I don't think that's death should be on the table.
One question, sir.
Yes. Well, if there's four witnesses, you don't need the tape. You don't need the tape.
If there is a two witnesses, there's a one tape, it's a set for that matter. It's going to be the judge.
You would have a difference of opinion, and scholars would debate over this and come up with different opinions about it. I personally don't think it's enough, because you're taking a life. You understand what I'm saying? And most judges would rule on the side of err on the side of caution. Because the Prophet ﷺ and Umar said this very well as well. I would rather let a criminal go because he has convinced me to his opinion than punish one innocent person. I would rather let a criminal go every single day than punish one innocent person. So this is the stance that the Sharia must take. That I would rather let the criminal go because he's not getting away with anything. Allah will deal with it. But I would rather let him go or her go than to punish an innocent person. Because if I punish an innocent person, now I'm the one that has to stand in front of Allah and the Deity judges me for that. That's why the most honored and revered position in Islam is the position of a qadi. It's one of the most honored and revered positions, the position of a judge, because he has life and death in his hands. No. You can. It has happened. It has happened, and there is some leniency given for the killer in that instance, because it could be considered a crime of. It doesn't. There's no really a crime of passion in Islam. There's no crime of passion in the Sharia. It would be a crime of insanity, where the person's not thinking correctly anymore. But they're not gonna. It can't be a punishment because the husband is one. But there is some schools of thought. There's some schools of thought that say a husband's witness upon his wife, if he takes an oath four times, can work. It's just not an opinion I lean towards. Yes, sister? Huh? Can the witness be under the age of puberty? Not for this, not for a capital crime punishment. According to most of the scholars, can't be. And it has to be four male witnesses or two female witnesses to equal one witness. So if there was only women who seen it, would need to be eight. Okay, let's go forward, because we could go on and on and go into a deep fit discussion about that. And that's just something I like to do, but this is not the context of this. What about the crime of theft? Is theft a crime in Islam? Yeah, it's a crime in Islam. What is the penalty? Cutting off the hand. Is that true in every case?
No,
you see, this is the story that's not told. That's not true in every case. It's not true in every case. There's so many deciding factors before a person loses their hand. The first one is that they must steal what? Above the nisab. Above the specific amount. It must be value. You can't steal a pack of gum or a pair of tennis shoes. Well, I don't know. There's some tennis shoes today that will probably reach above the nisab. But you can't steal something trivial and lose your hand over it, because it's not worth your hand. It must be above the nisab. Also, there must be some forethought behind it. It must be a crime of premeditation or a crime that has some criminal element behind it. For instance, if I leave my watch on a table and someone comes and picks it up, is that stealing? Yes, but will they lose their hand for it? No. Because I'm part of the responsible party. I left my watch there. I enticed the individual with that. You know what I mean? I left it there. I share part of the blame. So they wouldn't... Now, if that person breaks into my home and steals that same watch, and that watch is expensive above the nisab, then they lose their hand and they deserve to. So there must be deciding factors in that instance. And the goal of that penalty is not so that the person loses their hand and they don't steal again. It's so that I don't have to worry about my property. You get what I'm saying? It's so that I don't... It's protection of property. Do you know how much Americans spend on security? It's astronomical. It's in the hundreds of billions of dollars that is spent on security, securing property. And guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Theft in America is higher than almost every other country in the world. So there's something wrong. Something wrong with that system. The system doesn't work. Because the thieves are not punished properly. You get a slap on the wrist for most cases, or they go to jail and learn how to be a better criminal when they get out. Now you go to a place where the hand will be taken off. And I'm not saying there's any land where Sharia is practiced properly. But you go to a place where you lose your hand. Like for instance, any of you been to Saudi? Been to the Haramain, Mecca and Medina? Those shopkeepers who sell the rings and stuff on the kiosks. When it's time for Salah, what do they do? Even to this day. They put a cloth over it and they go pray. Nobody's going to steal anything. Why? Because you will lose your hand over it. And if you're in Medina, they don't have to take you very far because the Sharia court is right next to Masjid Nabawi. They don't have to take you very far. You will lose your hand. So the deterrent is there. The deterrent is there. And you know how many cases of recidivism? Anyone know what recidivism is? It means the person repeating the same crime. Do you know what the cases of recidivism, statistics of percentage of recidivism is for theft in a country where they will lose your hand for it? It's almost non-existent. Probably 0 point something. Because when you lose a hand, it really affects you. You think about that next time. Because I only have 2 hands and 2 feet. And if you lose your hand, the next time you're still going to lose a foot. And you will look very awkward missing 1 hand on one side and 1 foot on the other. So you think about that. If you think about going back to jail, most of our prisons in America are like better than some hotels you'll stay in. I've stayed in hotels that are worse than most of our prisons. Some people will commit a crime just to get off the streets. I would rather take the chance of robbing this bank and getting away with it than sleep in that cardboard box behind the 7-Eleven every day. At least if I get arrested, I'm going to go to a federal penitentiary, which is better than most hotels in America. So our justice system is broken. So when someone wants to criticize the Islamic justice system, then there is a bunch of fingers pointing back at them. But this won't be told, because whose responsibility is it to tell the story? It's our responsibility. It's not Peter King's responsibility. It's not any congressman or senator or congresswoman's responsibility. It's our job. But we don't know it. We don't understand it. Therefore, we cannot give da'wah properly. Okay. So that is how we implement Amr bin Maruf and Nahy anil Munkar, the Sharia. And if any Muslim were to say they did not want to live under a Sharia, and I'm telling you, they're doing these things on purposes. They're sending out polls about whether you would like to live in a Sharia or not for a reason. I would rather you keep your mouth shut than say some of the things that I've heard being said. Because any Muslim who says they would not like to live under Sharia, they have just made a statement that exited them out of their entire religion. They left Islam. Their religion is gone. They have to renew their Shahada if they did it knowingly. Because you're saying that you don't want the rule of Allah. You don't wish to live under the laws of Allah. You're not a Muslim. So be careful. Just decline to say, I decline. You have the right called the freedom of speech in America, which includes the freedom to keep my mouth shut. So exercise it. And sometimes that's probably the best thing to do in those situations. All right. Now, Allah says there must be...